Today is Transgender Day of Remembrance. That's an annual observation on November 20th that honors the memory of the lives that we have lost in acts of violent anti-transgender actions. And as you all, I'm sure, are aware of, certain political groups have continued to sort of elevate this false fear of gay and trans folks. Today, in a great tragedy, at a place that was going to be celebrating that event a little later today, we've seen the moves of political groups inspire violence. In the earliest hours of this morning, 5 people were killed in a mass shooting in Colorado Springs at a gay bar. I'm going to ask us all if we would take a moment to bow our heads in silence for the remembrance of those killed today, as well as the 32 trans folks who have been violently killed this year in the United States alone. Let's bow our heads. May they be at peace. Well, today I'm going to have our reading from Colossians. Now, those who are paying really strict attention, one, will recognize I said that word correctly this week, and I did not last week. And I'm going to be reading from chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. Now, if you've got a really good memory, you'll recognize that's the exact set of verses that I read last week. This week, however, I'm going to be reading from the First Nations version of the New Testament. It's an indigenous translation of the New Testament. Testament that Elsie actually called to my attention. It's become one of my favorite references to go see how they have interpreted different verses from the New Testament. So, and to get it correctly, instead of Colossians, again, I said it correctly, I just want to call note that I am capable of saying Colossians. In this New Testament translation, Colossians is actually referred to as small man to the sacred family in the village of giants. And I've changed just a few words in this to make it more inclusive. Hear now these words. The Great Spirit has chosen you to be its holy and deeply loved children. So put on the new regalia that has been provided for you. Put on deep feelings for the pain of others. Kindness, humbleness of heart, gentleness of spirit, and be patient with one another. If there are complaints against each other, then carry that burden basket and learn to forgive. For we must forgive others in the same manner that our honored chief has freely forgiven us. When all the new regalia is in place, let the love of the Great Spirit gather all the loose threads and braid them together in unity with one another. Let the chosen one guide you on the path of peace and harmony. And then, as its one body, this peace will be the guiding light in your hearts as you give thanks to the Great Spirit. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. And you may have already picked up on the fact that we're having kind of a Thanksgiving theme for our service today. So I want to give a second reading. This comes from John Fire Langdier, who is a Lakota holy man. Or was a Lakota holy man, who has this to say. Before our white brothers arrived to make us civilized men, we didn't have any kind of prisons. Because of this, we had no delinquents. Without a prison, there can be no delinquents. We had no locks nor keys, and therefore among us there were no thieves. When someone was so poor that they couldn't afford a horse or a tent or a blanket, he would, in that case, receive it as a gift. We were too uncivilized to give great importance to private property. We didn't know any kind of money, and consequently, the value of a human being was not determined by its wealth. We had no written laws laid down, no lawyers, no politicians. Therefore, we were not able to cheat or swindle each other. We were really in bad shape before the white men arrived. I don't know how to explain how we were able to manage without these fundamental things that, so they tell us, are so necessary for a civilized society.
Thank you.
My message this morning is entitled Rethinking Thanksgiving. So there are folks who believe that we need to cancel Thanksgiving. The numbers show that there are more and more folks every year who would agree. Personally, I kind of get it. Now, I'm wrong. I'm definitely not saying that I think that we should cancel Thanksgiving. Like I think I have shared with you before, there was a time when Thanksgiving was sort of secretly, and by far, my favorite holiday. The warmth of the house on Thanksgiving Day, the comforting aromas, home cooked meals, the thankfulness that felt like it kind of filled the air as family gathered and embraced and shared stories from the past year. All of it was, for me, a reflection of my mother. It was a celebration of comfort and abundance and gratitude and love. It was a celebration of family. And like with many families, my mom was the linchpin of the family for us. Of course, my early Thanksgivings were built around the framework of what I had been taught was the first Thanksgiving between the Pilgrims and the Indians. It was the image of cooperation, and mutual respect, and celebration. The Southern Church where we attended also instilled in me that it was a gathering of giving thanks to the God of Christ and abundance that He provided. I never stopped to think about how odd it was to see it that way, given the fact that half of the people in attendance the first Thanksgiving weren't even Christian. But as an article in the Smithsonian from just a couple of years ago pointed out, quote, in Thanksgiving pageants held at schools across the United States, children don headdresses covered with craft store feathers and share tables with classmates wearing black construction paper hats. It's a tradition that pulls on a history passed down to the generations of what happened in Plymouth. The local Native Americans welcomed the courageous, pioneering pilgrims to a celebratory feast. But, it says, much of that story is a myth riddled with historical inaccuracies. So, for me personally, seeing through the myth of the earliest Thanksgiving probably started when I first read Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. And that led to me also investigating less sort of filtered histories of the first actual Thanksgiving. So, matter of fact, the first actual proclamation of a day of Thanksgiving in the U.S., which was made by the governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony, and who declared, and I think I've shared this with you before, he declared this in his proclamation, the first proclamation. This day forth shall be a day of celebration and thanksgiving for subduing the Pequots. Pequots, of course, were some of the local indigenous peoples. The governor went on and noted a day of thanksgiving, thanking God that we have eliminated over 700 men, women, and children. As you might imagine, my newfound pieces of knowledge through that history had a negative impact on what was my favorite holiday. Where'd you go? I kept watching Thanksgiving evening and the day after become less and less about giving thanks for what we have in our lives and more about, well, getting more and more stuff to have in our lives. I even wrote an article for the Huffington Post about it called The War on Thanksgiving. And in that article, I put it this way. On a day about being thankful for what we have, many people will be rushing out to buy more stuff. Rather than enjoying time spent with family or friends, they will rush out to battle strangers in an effort to buy more distractions. Distractions from what they already have. Distractions from what really matters in life. distractions from time spent with others. There is a war on Thanksgiving, and the average American is slowly losing it. And so many of us don't even see that it's happening. That tryptophan-induced malaise from a turkey holds nothing over the disconnect induced by the media constantly bombarding us with messages telling us we will not be happy unless we are gathering in more stuff. While there is still debate among historians about the first Thanksgiving, what is not up for debate is the white invasion of indigenous peoples and the slavery and genocide that came along with it. That was all built. There's no argument on greed, consumption, and an inability to respect life, all life. So is it really any surprise that we've come sort of full circle in our Thanksgiving celebrations? Is it really any surprise that in learning all that history and the way that the violent truth had been whitewashed, that my love of Thanksgiving waned? Is it really any surprise that a growing number of people are thinking we should cancel Thanksgiving? Here's the thing, though. I am managing to hold on to my love of Thanksgiving for the most part. But I guess it no longer looks the way it did when I was so young and naive about it. So my Thanksgivings just don't look as much like they once did. If anything has been changing what Thanksgiving looks like and in doing it, that has sort of saved Thanksgiving for me. So, I get that some folks are thinking, to cancel Thanksgiving. I can't say that I'm ever going to probably be one of them. Because, you see, now on Thanksgiving, I'm less interested in the overabundant meal and more interested in a time of quiet reflection on the things in my life for which I am thankful. It's a habit that I actually used to reserve for New Year's Eve. But as I've kind of tried to rescue Thanksgiving for myself, I've moved that habit to Thanksgiving. After all, Thanksgiving makes sense to spend some time or a day with such a name to actually consider the things for which you are thankful. It also has the benefit of promoting a more satisfied feeling about life, which seems to me to be one of the things that Thanksgiving should be about. So, I suggest not only making a list of what you are thankful for, but also sharing that list with someone that you are close to. You see, researchers have found that people who talk to the other people that they are close to about the good things that are happening to them, they tend to feel more satisfied with life. They actually invited participants into a laboratory with someone that they were close to. And then the participants, they were asked to just write down a positive experience or a neutral experience, and then to either share it with that friend or not. Those that shared a positive experience with their partner experienced a greater boost in their sense of well-being than those who didn't share their experience with their partner or who shared just a neutral experience with their partner. And so that seems to strongly suggest that the act of sharing the positives in our lives and not just thinking about them, sharing them boosts our overall well-being. And then the study also has another outcome that makes the habit of sharing what you are thankful for a great fit for Thanksgiving. You see, the study, if you think about it, actually suggests that being more satisfied with life requires feeling connected to other people in life. After all, you need someone close to for which to share that thankfulness with. And the reality makes me all the more certain that I will not be rushing out the door away from the folks that I'm close to in order to buy more stuff from our already abundant lives. That consumeristic whirlwind which corporations have compelled upon us, which runs antithetical to what I understand the meaning of Thanksgiving to be, has also inspired me to not only consider the things in my life for which I am thankful, but what I see as the true spirit of Thanksgiving, of inviting all to the table, it has led me to make Thanksgiving a time of reflection on how many people do not even have the basics of life that they need. More or less the abundance that many of us have. So every Thanksgiving now, instead of giving money to profiteers, I make a donation to Fair Wage Workers' Rights organizations, to companies that work to end hunger and poverty, and to institutions that are trying to ensure healthcare for all. I'm also now on Thanksgiving spending some time reflecting on the horrors, yes, horrors, that Europeans inflicted on the indigenous peoples of this land. Take some time to become more educated about their cultures and spirituality. Not surprisingly, I donate to the organizations that are promoting the rights of indigenous peoples, organizations like NDN Collective. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll be eating turkey and stuffing and other Thanksgiving standards, and yes, even the cranberry sauce maintains the shape of the can of which it came. But it will be less celebratory and more thankful, less caught up in my abundance, and more focused on a world where everyone has their world, their needs met. Less about consumption, both in terms of food and goods, and more about redemption, about what is still good and right about Thanksgiving. You see, there's just something about Thanksgiving that keeps me coming back to it. And it particularly kicked in the years after my mom passed away. Many of my favorite memories of my mom are connected back to our family Thanksgivings. You know, in many ways, my new focuses for Thanksgiving, while not a mirror image of my mom's Thanksgivings, still very connected to her. See, she always taught me kind to others, to be brave enough to do the right thing, and to be aware of how my actions impact other people. I really believe she would be proud to know what my Thanksgivings look like now. And I know I'm proud to be continuing to try to live out the lessons she taught me on a day that reminds me so much of her.
John's most underrated songs. But there's two elements of it. One that it's a worthy song. It has been pointed out, he refers to Geronimo being killed by putting his weapons down while he was shot. Apparently, historically, that may not be true. And he also, this is early in Elton John's career, where he makes references to a sort of European Western ideology, the hierarchy of the family that we have imposed and projected on Native American culture, where it's man, woman, child, and from what, in my research, also reading Howard Zinn, most Native American tribes were egalitarian, not hierarchical by gender. Other than that, it's a bit slow. As I wake this evening with the smell of wood smoke clinging like a gentle cobweb hanging upon a painted teepee. Oh, I went to see my chieftain with my war lance and my woman, for he told us that the yellow moon would very soon be leaving. And this I can't believe, I said, I can't believe our warlord's dead. Oh, he would not leave the chosen ones to the buzzards and the soldiers' guns. Oh, great father of the Iroquois, ever since I was young, I read the writing all of the smoke and red on the sound of drums. I learned to hurl the tomahawk and ride the painted pony wild. But the gauntlet of the Sioux to make the chieftain's son mine. Now you ask that I should watch the red hill please be slowly crushed. What kind of words are these to hear from Yellow Dog, who white men fear?
Along with my loved ones, love flows great. the sounds of guns and the red ones in the night into the hills of gold. And peace to this young warrior comes with a bullet.
Share with you a prayer from my book of prayers. Maybe not surprisingly, this one's entitled On Thanksgiving with Bowerheads. There is a tension that comes with giving thanks. Even as we recognize and are grateful for the blessings in our lives, we are confronted with enjoying our abundance as we recognize the reality that there are those who have far too little. Even as we celebrate a holiday with roots which reach back to the beginnings of our nation, we are confronted with the reality of genocide and slavery upon which it was founded. We do not forget these things. We do not celebrate them. We do not give thanks for them. In our tale of Thanksgiving, they are the terrible storyline which we must not forget. Our pride, our arrogance, and our pursuit of possessions have constantly stood alongside our blessings as a reminder. They remind us why we give thanks. They remind us that life is sacred and fragile, and that we are its biggest threat. They remind us that we do not want to be those people again, people who lord over others and are self-absorbed and self-important. They remind us to appreciate what we do have. So we give thanks. We give thanks for this moment. We give thanks for the things that are right about this world right now in this moment. We give thanks for family and friends. We give thanks for love and laughter. We give thanks for grace and good company. We give thanks for the tension we find in a day like Thanksgiving, because it provides us the insight and the motivation to create better tomorrows, not just for ourselves, not just for our families, not just for our friends, but for the world. So today and every day, we give thanks and we work to create a world that gives more reasons for which to be thankful. Amen. Today, I'd like to end this with this blessing. It's a Cherokee prayer blessing. May the warm winds of heaven blow softly upon your house. May the Great Spirit bless all who entered there. May your moccasins make happy tracks in many snows. And may the rainbow always touch your shoulders.